Seattle, Portland, LA, San Fran, San Diego, Scottsdale, Phoenix. This is Kay Wynn.
And Big Ben.
And we are Western Standard Time. WSD Podcast. We're everywhere online. Podbeam, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. What do we talk about, Ben?
We got all sports, NBA, NFL, MLB, Pac-12, WCC. If it's on the West Coast, we got you covered.
You know what else we got you covered? A little lifestyle, a little fun, a little banter to lighten up your day. There are five-minute life guides.
So whether you live in Seattle, Kansas City, Frisco, Texas, Boston, Worcester, Florida, and you love West Coast sports, make sure you follow us, download us. I mean, let's be honest. I would have rather seen that.
If you want to fight,
yeah,
don't walk off the mound doing it. You know, stick one in the guy's ribs and say, I'm right here.
Baseball here.
But let's go. There's a season going on, huh?
There is. Stretch run here. I'm going to show my Oakland A's colors. So let's start with the AL West. We only talk about West Coast sports here. What do you think of the A's this year and the moves they made around the trade deadline?
I have no idea. What moves did they make?
Tony La Stella. They got him from the Angels.
Tommy La Stella. I like Tommy La Stella.
They got, what's that guy? That lefty who pitched for the Rangers.
Lance Lynn?
No.
We can't prepare.
He was on the Giants. Segment. Mike Minor?
Yeah. Minor's a stud.
Yeah.
Look, let's generalize the conversation and save everybody. All sorts of anguish as we try to break down. Like, there's very few. Here's the thing. Look, I love baseball, man. And still, as of today, employed by MLB Network, even though I haven't worked there since March. But like, what's going on right now? I think you know, in a general picture of baseball, and if we're to analyze it and whatever, like, I think what's fascinating is the 60-game season, right? Like, this is a sprint to the finish, and the whole concept and idea of not playing in front of fans, the playoff format, like what the hell is going on there? And I think this is gonna, and it's almost like, I'll relate it back to the golf and tie this thing in, but I think Major League Baseball is going to come out of this rethinking everything that they do. And this is a sport that's been long stuck in tradition. And I'm not necessarily saying that they won't play 162 games, because that's more of a money crunch sort of thing. But I think looking at it, whether it's the playoff format, which we're about to, like, dude, we're less than 2 weeks away from the playoffs, man. And we're just in these 2 out of 3 series. And that's really kind of when I'm going to start paying attention to all of it. I think the A's might win the fucking World Series this year. I'm sure. Like, this is a team that, when I look around baseball, I mean, the A's and the Dodgers, in my opinion, are the two best teams of baseball from what I've seen and watched. Now, I haven't been as in-depth and diving into the numbers each and every single day. But I just think that this is actually going to be good for the game. And it's creating this sort of pent up demand a little bit. I still think life is obviously much different than we've all become accustomed to. So it's harder for fans to, outside of the diehards, to really get into it. But I do believe that once we get into the postseason, we're going to get to experience some baseball like we never have before. Just the fact that there's, I don't even know, what is it, like 16 teams?
It's 16 teams, 8 each league.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Like, let's go, over half the teams are making the postseason. The Giants are going to freaking make the postseason. There's a chance. And I would say there's no chance, no, zero, going into this year. And they might find themselves in the dance.
Yeah. If we're going to generalize baseball, was Joe Kelly's move justified?
No. No, it's.
Did you like to see it? Did you want to watch it?
Not really. Like, look, and I don't know. I don't know Joe Kelly. I think there's, you know, ways to handle things, and certain ways not to. You know, I understand that Joe Kelly would be upset. if I'm not mistaken, that Joe Kelly was also on that Boston team that won a World Series. And there's a lot of rumors going around that they were doing the same thing. We just look, I'm not justifying anything that the Astros did, especially when it came to the manner in which they did it and the thought that it may have affected the outcome of the World Series. But at the same time, like, you know, just going out there and taking the law into your own hands and headhunting and, you know, all that stuff, like, you know, the pouty face thing. I care less if that's him, that's what he wants to do. Fine. Now, I'll tell you this, that if I was Carlos Correa, who I believe that he did that to, there's certain element of like a line that you cross. And then I'm going to run full speed at you and I'm going to freaking launch my body at you to take you down and then do everything I can to get you in a headlock and start pounding you. Now that's my approach. And that's how I would have done it. You know, again, like I also think there's, look, the Astros dug their grave and Joe Kelly's pouring the dirt on it and they're going to deal with that. You know, overall though, it gets so, there's so many blurred lines in this from mm-hmm. my perspective. And I feel like I've lived it. Yeah. Lived it, but I was really close to the situation too. Even this situation.
I mean, you played with AJ Hinch, right?
Played with AJ Hinch. I talked to AJ through a lot of this, right. A lot of it, you know, I don't know how much did AJ know?
Right.
You know what? Like he's the guy that wears the brunt. And I think Joe Kelly, I think made the best thing he said, if I'm not mistaken, was that some of the guys that had nothing to do with this lose their jobs, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's other guys that were basically the curators of this, and nothing happened to them. And that I think that possibly is one of the reasons why so many people have gotten upset. Now, look, when you're the manager or the general manager of that team, it doesn't matter. If it happens under your watch, you're responsible. And it's I would say the same thing if I were in any of the either one of those leadership positions. I just don't think the throwing at people's heads when you throw 99 miles per hour, you know, even if you threw 90, it doesn't matter. But just going after people's heads and then mocking them, I just kind of like, I don't know. That's some
you would have rather seen him throw it in the dirt and then charge him.
I mean,
let's be honest. I would have rather seen that.
If you want to fight,
yeah,
don't walk off the mound doing it. You know, stick one in the guy's ribs and say, "I'm right here." I mean, I'd rather see that instead of the, you know, I'm walking over here making pouty faces. It's just that's kind of like the bully, you know, at school, right? Yeah. The bully that never fought at school that wants to talk all the trash and
the recess bell rings and he runs inside.
Yeah, and mocks people and then as soon as the bell rings, he's going back, he's running back to his class, like you said, or even before it. So I just don't know enough about the situation. I don't know enough about Joe Kelly. You know, it's but the Astros, I would say they brought this upon themselves to an extent. But they know that they're going to have to deal with it, which is probably why Carlos Correa did not go after him, because they've expected this.
Yeah. So if we go to a situation you know about, it's 2000 to 2004, you played with the Oakland A's. And with that, we're going to do a little West Coast swing. Some quick questions, quick answers. There's no right or wrong answers. So I'm going to lead off here. What was the club? What was the clubhouse like when you played with the A's?
Oh, Animal House. Dude, it was like nothing I'd ever been a part of. I mean, we're talking Jason Giambi and rolling up to spring training with Jeremy on Harleys. If that doesn't tell you what you need to know about the Oakland A's in the early 2000s, I mean, that's the image, dude, that I'll forever have. I it's like, maybe, you know, I think this is probably year 2000 and I wasn't in the big leagues. I got called up that year, but you know, here come Jason and Jeremy Giambi, like, man. Like, dude, I mean, it was wild. And it was, then Jermaine Dye and Johnny Damm, those guys were riding Harleys too. And we go out at night, there'd be 23 out of 25 guys out. There was a cohesiveness in that dugout, in the clubhouse, that I would say I never got in the big leagues. The only ever time I've ever seen it was in college at one point at UCLA. But you just don't, it's so rare to have that. The other thing, you know, when I walk into Cleveland for the first time, I never met any of these guys. I just get called up. Never been a big league spring training game, nothing. And I walk in, it's like literally 15 minutes before game time. And I never worn my pants down. And at the time, all the Oakland A's were wearing the pants, and they were hooking them over their spike, right, to get them as low as possible. And now I'm going to show up and be the one asshole that's going to wear his pants all the way up to his knees. And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. And so I went to Jason Giambi, and I said, yo, G, I said, I actually probably didn't say that. That was later. I probably said, Mr. Giambi. I've worn my pants high my entire life, and with the socks showing, and I know you guys all have long pants here and everything. Is it okay if I do that? Because I'll wear them down, you know, to fit in with everybody else if you'd like me to. And he goes, Bernsie? He goes, this is the Oakland A's. Do whatever the fuck you want. And that was the mentality that they had. And you know, Stairs was a really good leader. Just, you know, took me under his wing. I'll never forget. I had a couple knocks my first night. And my mom was there, and my sister and my agent, who was just a buddy of mine from UCLA, Mike Sasson. And we're all in the hotel room in Cleveland and just trying to figure out like what had just happened in the past 24 hours. It was like, I was in Sacramento, and next, you know, like I made the last out of a game, and I thought I was getting called to the manager's office to get reamed. And after like a little tongue lash, he's like, dude, you can't make the last out. You know, I wasn't the tying run. And so I ended up hitting a ball down the right field line, went for a double, got thrown out. Thought there was no chance the guy was going to make the play. He does. I get thrown out. Game's over. And my run didn't mean anything, right? Because it was like, say we're down like 7-5. I would have been the sixth run. And so then, you know, he says, no matter what, like, do not make that same mistake in Cleveland tomorrow. And so then I went from thinking like, wait, hold on, it's Cleveland. Like, wait, what? And then it just all of a sudden processed. And so I ended up you know, we end up in Cleveland, and I got a couple hits, scored a couple runs, got thrown at almost inside of a bench clearing brawl because I took a big swing off of Steve Reed, a sidearm, a right hander. He hung me a slider, freaking swung out of my ass. And apparently he didn't like the way I swung because I swung too hard. So the next pitch drilled me. And then I run to first base, and our dugout goes nuts. And I'm like, what are they upset about? I had no idea. But I guess when I swung big, he said something. And then the next pitch, he drilled me. So now I'm back in the hotel and just like, whoa, like what a wild 24 hours. And then we threw back at Sandy Alomar Jr. then now we have a full-blown bench-clearing brawl. Not brawl, but like everyone's running out. I'm on the front lines. I'm toe-to-toe with David Segee. He's got snot coming out of his nose. Like, looking like he's ready to freaking, like, let's do this. And at the time, he was known as the baddest dude in Major League Baseball. And so I said, okay. I said, I just want to be on the front lines just in case this does go down. And I wasn't going to say anything. Obviously, wasn't going to throw a punch or anything. Just kept my mouth shut. And then next thing you know, Matt Stairs comes over, like, kind of pushes me to the side. And he got in Segee's face, and they start like bartering back and forth, like, you guys did this, well, we did this, yeah, yeah. And I'm face to face with Omar Vizquel. And now I'm looking at Omar Vizquel. And at the time, dude, he was, I mean, that guy was everything, right? And so I look at him, I'm like, what's up, Omar? he goes, what's up, kid? I said, I'm a big fan, dude. He's like, oh, right on, man. Thanks. Gives me a little hug. So back to the hotel, sitting up there, and my phone rings. and a pickup, you know, pickup like the hotel phone. These are back. We had cell phones in the day, but and that was just kind of they were just come out, right? 2000. And so a hotel phone rings and he goes, Bernsey, stairs, hotel bar, 5 minutes. Either. I'm like, all right. So at the time, I'm like, I'm not going down there with my mom and sister and age. Like, I'm just like, I'll go. Like, let's go. So I went down, hotel bar, had like a shot and a beer waiting for me. Shot, beer, cab, nudie bar. Just like that. Christie's. Yeah. And so we went and sat there and just sucked down Coors Lights and shots the rest of the night and enjoyed the entertainment. But that was the welcome to the Oakland A's moment. It's how they did things. And it was, you know, there's no, obviously, you know, sure there might have been some mischievous nights and whatnot, but the chemistry and the bond between the guys, no doubt is what I believe was the key ingredient to having those teams be so successful during that time period. Moneyball's going to get a lot of credit in the sabermetrics elements of it. And I think, you know, Billy Beane was on the forefront of the revolution when it came to diving into numbers and everything. But I also think the thing that gets passed over so often is you know, the chemistry of the clubhouse. That's what I thought the one thing that the movie missed on was how close all the guys were.
I mean, even as you describe this to us, I've read Moneyball. It's one of the four books I think I've read in my life. But really, Billy Beane was somewhat of a genius. He took guys like yourself, like Scott Hatterberg, who was a Coug, and took them to places where, you know, if you're any other manager on paper, they'd go, no, this team is, no offense, not the greatest. But yet, you know, you guys executed, and probably to your point, the chemistry. What's your I'm going to steal K1's question here. What's your favorite Giambi story? Either one.
Well, so the one in the movie where he was dancing on the table and so he gets a bad rap for that. Like, that's, we weren't losing games and he was dancing on the table. There was an incident, and the incident, from what I remember, happened on the plane. But look, it's not, you know, it wasn't like he was this guy just out for himself. Jeremy, right? Yeah. It wasn't like he was this guy out for himself. Jason, unbelievable teammate. Like, I mean, he's just, look, Jason was on it. He was MVP, and I think in 2000, and he was on an island of one, and he was playing like he was on an island of one, right? And so he had his routines, he had his what he did and how he prepared for a game, and Bob Alejo was there at the time, and it was almost like Bob was kind of like his handler, and he, like, in taking BP, time in the weight room, preparation, all the stuff that he did, like, he was very meticulous with everything. And so he was a little bit separated from the team, but you could go to him for anything, right? Like, he never took BP on a field. I was fascinated with that. Wow. I had such an ego that, like, you know, I'd go out the field and try to launch balls and try to hit them as far as I can just to feed the ego. This guy, he's like, oh, what? I'm not wasting my homers out on a field. Like, that's to groom my swing to get it where I want to be. Like, he took every single day, he took BP in the cage because he didn't want to have to try to get in that pissing contest and hit homers. Yet we saw him in a home run contest, I think either won it or almost won it or whatever, hitting bombs up in Seattle, I remember. And it's like, dude, I wonder what it's going to be like for him to take BP on the field for the first time that year. Trey, so the ultimate Giambi story, ultimate, is – Baltimore, when I got traded to the Orioles and he was playing with the Yankees.
Okay.
I cannot share that.
Amazing.
I'll give you a peek into it though. It was an amazing, amazing, incredible night out in the inner harbor of Baltimore. And actually, I think we were at a bar in Canton called Rick's. And Tanyan Sturts was another guy who was there.
He played in the Devil Rays with my brother.
Kenyon, dude, what a great guy, man. New Yorker, really, really good dude. So, yeah, it, you know, look, man, it's, geez, trip down memory lane. I mean, I pull out, like, a lot of stories and stuff, but this is, you know, just an awesome experience. Good people.
All right. Well, I think we're running over. So do you want to wrap up by telling our fans where they can hear about your latest venture, where you can find you online, and dude, how Ben and I can get a reflexology footboard and a go-art hat?
Yeah. Well, look, man, there's a lot of hats I'm wearing these days. You know, I'd like to refer to myself as the number one foot reflexology salesman in the world currently at this point. And I'm surprised because I usually have one in every room, and the fact that there's not one right here. Yeah, go to ericburns.com to get that. The story behind it is basically that I had these footboards, right? And I used to go to Express Spa all the time, flying back and forth when Kyle and I were freaking running the streets of New York. And so I would go to Express Spa and I would get the, cause my ankles would swell up on the flight. And then I was doing all this crazy ultra endurance running and, you know, Ironmans and stuff. And so there's a lot of training and I was always, you know, I was using different muscles and things. So I was sore. So I would swear by this foot reflexology board where I would go stand on it. It was before, you know, before flights, after flights, before I went on air at MLB Network, brain stimulation, the whole thing. It's foot reflexology is thousands of years old. Like, this isn't new, right? And so I would send everybody to the Express Spa to get these boards. Like, people would ask me all the time on Instagram or wherever else, like, dude, where'd you get that board? What's it doing for you? I'm like, bro, oh, it's amazing. Express Spa. Send everyone there. Pretty soon, a couple years later, Express Spa stopped selling them.
What?
And I told my guys that I wrote a book called The Effort List, Life Lessons from a Human Crash Just Dummy. I have, you know, we've done two documentaries, one of them being, it's called Diamond of the Rough, which you can get on all the platforms, all about going from playing baseball to running the Western States 100 and what that experience was like. And then the Triathlon Across America documentary called Let Them Play, a Triathlon Across America. And so we sell all this stuff in kind of one-stop shop at ericburns.com. And then I do that Daily Hustle, which is a blog, right? And a podcast 5 days a week. It's short little nuggets of wisdom accumulated through experience. And I told my guys, I'm like, dudes, we're missing the boat here. We got to sell the footboards. And so they're like, footboards? Really? I'm like, bro, let me tell you something. Yes, footboards. So we order 1,000. These guys thought I was on crack. Order 1,000 footboards, dude. And these things come in, and it's like boxes stacked. Ta, 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 ta. And they go to the same place where they ship the books out of and everything else, right? Mm. And they're like, dude, I have a feeling these might be here for a while. In my opinion, I have a core tribe of 1,000. That's why I picked that number. I have 1,000 people that, quote unquote, right, the go-hards, like the ones that they just buy into the shit. They get it. We resonate with each other through transparency and authenticity, and they fucking get it. And I said, we will sell 1,000 footboards. I know we can do it. It might take a year, but we're selling 1,000 to that core tribe. 3 weeks later, gone.
Wow.
Every footboard, dude.
Eric, I just ordered one. I got two questions for you. I got size 14 feet. Am I going to be okay?
You'll be fine. You might have to move your foot around a little bit, but you'll see the spots on the foot that you hit. Like, for example, you know, when I'm swimming a lot, like there's like an ear nose one here. And like, literally, like if I put pressure on it, my ears will pop. They'll go. So it doesn't matter. You understand? Like, you'll see what part of your foot will correlate. The sciatica is one that a lot of people will use. So they'll go to the butt, you know, they'll hit that. It's the bottom of the heel. And so even if you have a size 14 foot, just take the bottom of the heel and stick it in the sciatica. And you're
good
and
to
then,
go.
Oh, dude, you'll feel it. You'll
Second feel it. Question. I have mild bunions. Am I good?
Yeah. It's so think about it.
Just go to Express Spa to get rid of those bunions.
Dude, well, you don't need Express Mod anymore. They're out, man. they dropped the footboard, so to speak, man. Someone had to pick it up and carry it on. So everything is blood flow. So, and that's why it's like, you know, I recommend it to everybody who does anything, because life is blood flow. And so the whole recovery process, and you think about what we do to our bodies, right? We go out, we beat our bodies up. Kyle stays out till 4 a.m, drinking, you know, the 15 vodka sodas and the Jägermeister shots. And next, you know, he's just weirding out in the corner. Like, he does this thing, but he gets up the next morning, his body's inflamed. It's a natural reaction, is that blood goes to whatever area, and that in Kyle's case, like the head, right? Because he's got a freaking raging headache because he drank too much the night before. And then what happens is what we have to do, and say if I go run 20, 30 miles a day, whatever it is, and then all of a sudden you recirculate that blood, that's what freshens us up. Same thing with the headache, right? Like the blood rushes, like here we are, we're dehydrated. And so long as we can keep the blood moving in all of areas of our body, that's what promotes recovery. And so that's why, you know, the footboard's been great. You know, I didn't really mean for this to turn into this crazy footboard sales thing, but
I bought one. You sold me one.
Hey, it's,
you know what I also did get? A hat and your audiobook.
There you go.
You're a hell of a fucking salesman.
Yeah, the audiobook's legit, man. There's some knowledge and wisdom in there through trials and errors through the course of my life. I think that it was funny because when I put the book together, basically at the end, it's like I had all these stories, but with no great structure. And I said, if I'm really going to do this in publishing book, like I want, there needs to be a lesson attached to it. There needs to be like, why, if I'm not giving a value, like what the fuck are we doing? Like you need, like if think about that, add value. I wrote a daily article about this the other day. If you're not adding value, what's the point? And so if someone's going to take the time, like the audiobook is like 12 hours, dude, like it's some ridiculous number. If you're going to read that or go through that or listen to that, you better be getting something out of it that you can apply to your life. And that's, you know, that's where I think about everything that I do in my life. It's like, am I adding value? Am I making, you know, number one, am I going to be better for this? And look, you need to settle your internal score before you even look at externally. And then it's like, how can I positively influence that person? How can I positively influence that person? And it just becomes cyclical, man.